He is risen. He's risen. He has and is risen. Awesome. Woo! We don't do enough collective hoots, okay? So 3, 2, 1, woo! Hey, that was pretty good. Awesome. Oh, it's good to be together. Welcome here. Just a few little thoughts, meditations in the midst of this amazing Sunday, this center Sunday of all Christianity, really. We're going to pass around some buckets, so just right now, actually. So you can pass around those buckets. Part of our physical act of worship, I'm going to try not to stumble over the cross. It is a stumbling block to many, but hopefully not to me this morning. This is a practical kind of physical act of worship, just kind of the same way that if you were here early enough, we ripped down the window coverings and bright new light pierced this dark room and we opened up the curtains and it came and it's all part of our worship, part of joining with Jesus in his death and in his suffering, like we did on Good Friday as we took this cross and we nailed these nails into it and walked around the neighborhood and gathered here and were with him in a very real way. This morning we are with him in resurrection. And I want to draw our attention just real quickly and briefly, maybe about 10 minutes or so, to a passage of scripture. Boy, there's a lot of stuff happening around here. There's pencil crayons on the floor. There's painters. There's like new life. There's like plants. Plants in the vineyard? Yeah. And there's communion we're going to celebrate together. But this morning, just for a few minutes, I want to bring our attention to... and I forgot. Sahil has a CD that's being released today. The joy that is great, that is immense and good, right? And so you can grab that. All proceeds for that goes to the worship, WCV, and to the Himalayan Region Vineyards. And so Jennifer will be selling those. So that's awesome. So you can pick one of those up just as part of our Easter celebrations. But just real briefly, John chapter 11. You can turn there with me if you want. This is a story of resurrection. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hinge point of history, really and truly, the fulcrum of all human history, the hope on which our faith is built, the moment, the very moment that love conquered evil, that very moment we celebrate this, when the powers of hell imploded. They ate themselves up, and life had the final say. This is the moment that we celebrate this morning, this great and mysterious event, this historical moment in history when death itself, as Paul says, was swallowed up in victory. Yeah? This is what we celebrate this morning. Jesus died, was placed in a tomb, and 3 days later, was resurrected. He wasn't, nor will he be, the last one to be resurrected. And that is really our hope this morning. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, you see, just as death came into the world through a man, through Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Jesus. Just as everyone dies, we all belong to Adam, so to speak. Everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Our hope is resurrection. Our hope is in Jesus' resurrection. And then it's in ours too. You might say, wait a minute, I'm not dead yet. The Monty Python, I'm not dead yet. Well, we have a lot of death around us and living in us. And this is our hope, Jesus' resurrection. So let's look at the story of Lazarus, one who was resurrected, and allow it to speak to us of Jesus' heart for us and point us towards our own resurrection, our own process of being made new. And this is going to lead us to celebrating communion in a moment. But let's look at this, and we're going to read this together. Actually, you're going to read the orange or brownie bits, if you can see them. If you can't, you can just listen or read in your own Bibles. This is the New Living Translation, mostly. I've made a few edits, but they're legit edits. They're okay. I've just gone to the Greek, actually. But if we can do that together, you can read those parts, and I'll read the white parts. John chapter 11. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. 4 days in the tomb without embalming. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. This is the same Mary that you'll recall took the expensive vial of perfume and broke it and washed Jesus' feet with it and then dried it with her hair. Same Mary. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? See, they had an understanding about life after death. But the Christianity that many of us kind of or have maybe grown up with, or maybe even kind of believe now, is that this, it's like Jesus' resurrection gives us a ticket. It's like a ticket to heaven to get out of here. I don't know, have you had that before? Have you maybe understood that before? That I get this, I say the prayer, and it's my ticket to heaven, and I get to escape this place. It's very unbiblical and very not what Jesus was about at all. It's more than life after death in heaven. One person said, it's about life after death. Resurrection means you're no longer dead. Means you're living. And means we come back to life and live in the new creation, like we just sang about in that song. It's an awesome song. When people die now, they go to heaven. But they don't stay there. That's not the final resting place. Resurrection and Jesus' resurrection means that heaven comes to earth and they're joined together again. And when he returns, he's the first of the harvest, Paul says, remember? The trumpet will sound, or however that works, I don't even know. I just say that because it sounds like you're supposed to say that at this point. But some kind of voice is going to shout, and all those who have died in Christ will come to life again. Will be resurrected. And if we so happen to be still alive, well then there will be no need for resurrection that way, but to be renewed, to have his life completely fill us and change us to the point where, like in Revelation it says, there's new bodies. There's a new heaven and a new earth. It's not a different one. It's renewed. It's renewed. They had this understanding. Oops, stumbling over the cross. They place their hope in a better life after the resurrection, Hebrews 11 says. Jesus' resurrection is the first, and those who believe in him will live when heaven comes and is rejoined with the earth, like it's pictured in Revelation. When all things are made new, like we just sang. When there is a new heaven and a new earth. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord. We believe this. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha had met him. When the people were at the house consoling Mary, Mary saw her leave so hastily, they just assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. He was deeply troubled. That deep anger is not an anger at Lazarus. It's not even, anger is actually the wrong word. I thought I had changed it, but I didn't. But it's a snorting with indignation. That's what it means. To snort with indignation. That's what Jesus did. Other translations say he was deeply moved. There was something in his heart, in his very core, that this was just not right. And so he snorts with indignation. Some people think that that God is a wrathful God, and that when Jesus said on the cross, the Lord is turned, what did he say again? He's quoting Psalm 22. Why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? And that somehow God turned, the Father turned his face away from Jesus because he couldn't look on him. And that Jesus had to be nailed to the cross and suffer this brutal execution, which is all true, but to appease God's wrath. Let me tell you, my friends, God is not angry at us. It was not his wrath that put him there. It is his anger at sin and all of its consequences and all of the evil that it has wrought in us and throughout our whole creation. That is what really beeps him off. That's really what it is. He's not angry at you. He's not angry at me, and nor was he angry at Jesus. It wasn't God's wrath that kept him there. Amen? Okay, good. You need to know that. That needs to really sink deep. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's the next line of that passage. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it. He didn't come to announce condemnation from the Father, nor even to save us from the condemnation of the Father, but rather to reveal the love of the Father for those, you and me, everyone that's ever lived, and all of creation itself, for those who are already perishing and suffering condemnation. See, we're already there. We are in the tomb, so to speak. And Jesus came to rescue us from the tomb, so to speak. They told him, "Lord, come and see." That was your line. They told him. Lord. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, but some said, " Jesus was still deeply moved. That's the part that I changed. As he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside! Imagine him, deeply troubled, snorting with indignation, come to one of his good friends, weeping. Roll away that stone! Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Ever the practical person. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me." And this is where he shifts gears a little bit into one of those prayers that's a preachy prayer. It's like he's talking to God. Then all of a sudden you kind of get this idea that he's not talking to God anymore. He's actually talking to the people that are listening. It's a preachy prayer. You know what I'm talking about? Have you heard people preach, like do preachy prayers? Jesus does one here too. He said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here so that they would believe that you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out. Picture it. Can you picture it in your head here? The tomb in the side of this cliff or hill or something. Big stone has been rolled away. Jesus, snorting with indignation, says, "My friend, come out!" And the dead man comes out. Except, do you know how they buried people? They're like a mummy, exactly. He was like wrapped up all the way down like this. And wrapped like grave cloths is what they were called. Linen all the way around, over his head, his feet. Imagine him coming out of the grave. Kind of tripping. Kind of stumbling a little bit. It's kind of comical. His hands and feet were bound in the grave clothes. His face wrapped up in a headcloth. Could he see where he was going? I don't know. It's such a comical picture. But it's actually how a lot of us live. Wrapped up in our grave clothes. They're falling off sometimes. Sometimes other people are putting them back on. But Jesus is saying to us, just like he said to them, unwrap him and let him go. That's the power of the resurrection. Unwrap him and let him go. Some of us this morning, I believe, are having the tomb, so to speak, figurative now, going to metaphor speak, having the stone rolled away. Imagine what it's like in a tomb with the stone on. What would it feel like? Huh? Dark. Pitch black. Quiet. Dungeon. Imprisoned. And the stone is rolled away. And then just like Jason sang at the very first song, the light has shone in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. It pierces. And some of us this morning are experiencing that for the first time. And you're coming awake. And the Spirit is calling you to life. And others of us are in various kind of stages of tripping and stumbling out of the grave. We've got different grave clothes wrapped on us. Different sins that entangle, temptations, habits, violence, greed, lust, gluttony, pride, envy, laziness, hatred. Or there's been other evil that's been wrought onto us, been done to us. Injustice, sickness, war. These are all forms of death. These are all things of the grave, of the tomb. And Jesus this morning, and Jesus 2,000 and something years ago, said no more. Come out. And unwrap them. And that's what he's saying to us today. Come out and unwrap him. Guess who did the unwrapping? I don't think Lazarus unwrapped himself. I think probably all his friends, everybody just rushed to him and just ripped those things, those suckers right off. That's our job. That's what we get to do for each other. Rip those suckers. Use the scissors. Cut the knife. Get the kukri knife out. Whatever. Just spin them so they spin. Did you know that one of the first terms that Christians were known as, besides Christians, which means little Jesuses, but Eusebius, who is a third century historian, said the Christians were known as therapeutes. What does that sound like? Therapeutic. Healers. That's what Christians were known as. Healers. Why were they known as healers? Oh, I don't know. Go take a wild guess on that one. But this is the power of the resurrection. And that's what we celebrate here in communion. And that's what we're going to pray for each other. We're going to do communion, do some more songs. And we're going to end this morning therapeutizing each other. I don't even know if that's a word. But through the power of the Holy Spirit made possible through the cross, through Jesus' resurrection. That's what we're going to do, just to give you a heads up. So what do we need unwrapping from this morning? Sinning against ourselves sometimes, sinning against our neighbors, against creation even. It's all forms of death. And Jesus says, come out. Come away from that. Come into my arms. Take me in, and I will change you into a new person. This is the power of the resurrection, and this is what we celebrate, and this is what we do around this table now. And so we come around the table to remember this hinge point of history, this moment when the light shone into the darkness and the darkness just simply can't overcome it. When Jesus gave himself for us, his body was broken just like this bread was broken. And his blood was shed. And we remember. But it's not just a past tense remembering, it's a remembering in the future tense as well. It's written in the future tense. We remember. We call to memory what Jesus will do, is doing in us, and has done. And so that's what we do. And so I invite you to come to receive the elements. Just, well, I guess there's kind of only one way to get there. But come. Do your business with God and come and take him in. This light of the world, this love of God so completely represented in his broken body and his spilt blood. And as we do that, we welcome the new creation in us, like we sang. His resurrection power will be working in us. So Lord, we open ourselves to this. We thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your life. That you came and you were one of us. And that you offered yourself for us. That we can be free. That we can walk out of our graves. That we don't have to trip over our tangled grave clothes. That your light shines into even our darkest places. And it does not get overwhelmed. It is not overcome by the darkness. We celebrate this and we thank you, Lord. Would you take us? Would you stand together with me? And Lord, we remember. We thank you, we worship you, and we remember. Come receive the elements.